yesterday. One of the more interesting things about yesterday was, and about, I suppose, what Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson, Eoin Óibrin, was saying. He was the one who released these figures, had asked for them from the PRTB, and was talking about what needs to be done to try and increase the number of properties being rented, try and keep landlords in the market. Something that I hadn't heard Sinn Féin say before was that we need to look at the tax treatment of smaller landlords, that perhaps maybe the tax on their incomes should be cut. And that's a big step, a big move for Sinn Féin to make that call. Up to now, Sinn Féin and other parties more left-leaning and on the left have been kind of painting a picture of landlords charging rack rents and that it needs to be all weighted towards the tenant and landlords are the baddies. But all of a sudden, Sinn Féin were saying yesterday, based on the figures leaving, it looks like they're moving their policy a little bit to say, well, hold on a second now, we need to look at how landlords, small landlords, are being affected and perhaps maybe a more benign tax treatment. With that in mind, we were talking about this yesterday, we got a comment in from a listener, not from Kerry, who comes to Killarney for his holidays regularly, was listening to us yesterday and heard the report, the number of termination notices issued by landlords to tenants, as notified to the Residential Tenancies Board, rose by 58% in the first 6 months of 2022. Eoin Óibrin called in Fianna Fáil Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, to convene an urgent meeting on the rental crisis following the rise in the number of landlords leaving the rental market. A ban on evictions during lockdown periods of the COVID-19 pandemic last year, that lowered the number of termination notices. However, the eviction moratorium was lifted in April 2021 and numbers have been going up ever since then. The listener felt the report did not give the full picture. He says he's spoken to a number of landlords and they are selling up because they anticipate Sinn Féin will be in power after the next general election and they will bring in laws so that landlords, if they sell properties, will have to keep tenants in the houses. No one is talking to landlords, hearing their stories, hearing their side of things. Well, we have been speaking to landlords on this programme. We've talked about the tax treatment. We've talked about the situation several times and they are concerned about that and concerned even by legislation being brought in by this government, let alone a future Sinn Féin government. But I just wonder if the ground is shifting under this. From what I was saying about Sinn Féin and the comments of Eoin Óibrin yesterday, saying we need to look at the tax arrangements and what smaller landlords are being charged in terms of tax on rental income. It's the first time I heard Sinn Féin say that. Maybe the ground is moving, maybe it's moving a different direction in order to respond to the high numbers leaving the market. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the show, 066 712 3666. And we, listener, if you're still listening to us this morning, we have heard plenty of times from landlords who have been decrying the situation of the major property REITs and the major investment firm landlords who are getting away with it in terms of tax. They're almost being charged no tax and getting through loopholes, whereas smaller individual landlords and people with one or two houses are being charged a full rate. That's something that needs to change. On the issue of the number of accidents on our roads, the listener says the reason for so many accidents is that there's no visibility on the roads. The hedges are overgrown right out into the road and are 8 feet tall. The caller has driven in Germany and says hedges are cut right back into the fence and that no hedge is higher than 3 feet tall and you can see for miles when driving. There's a hedge of ragwort all along the road as you drive from Glenfest to Killarney. The council needs to act fast. The caller is convinced the lack of visibility is contributing to the deaths on our roads. A listener gets in touch. Ragweed is God's plants. Animals love to eat it, especially caterpillars. There'd be no butterflies or bees or birds if that was taken away. Love it, says the listener. Well, there is a biodiversity argument to it as well, that's for sure. Stop always on about young people. The amount of older people on phones while driving is absolutely shocking. Okay, that's one listener getting in touch saying young people speeding and young people on phones. I suppose there's plenty of people speeding who are in older years and plenty of people who are on phones in their older years as well. Jury. Strong, able-bodied men, supping pints and talking in the glorious sunshine. Never done a day's work and have no notion of it. €50. How are you? Says this listener. And another listener says, job seekers, why don't people have to sign in anymore for job seekers? Caller doesn't understand it. I couldn't really find any information online in relation to not people not having to sign in anymore with regards to that. If you have a view for us on that, get in touch with us on the show on 066 712 3666. You can text and WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. We want to hear from you on the programme this morning in 066 712 3666. Now, turning our attention and keeping our attention on the tourism market and the jobs market, with me on the line we've got Padraig Harnett, who's in Galway. Padraig, good morning to you.
Hello, Jerry. Yeah, I was in Galway the weekend, yeah.
You were? And listen, you were up there as a tourist. You went into venues. You had some food. You enjoyed things as anyone would be doing in tourism. And you noticed a number of different things in terms of the jobs market and what tourism operators are doing. It's kind of germane to what we were speaking to about on the programme yesterday when it talks to job seekers and full employment markets and all of that. But what did you see? What did you observe when you were there?
Yeah, I suppose, Jerry, having been in the tourist business for a long time, I'd be curious. So I was in a restaurant, very well-known restaurant, very busy restaurant as well. But what amazed me was the amount of people that were turning away. Now, particularly downstairs in the bar, because they weren't taking reservations, was walk-in, but they might be taking maybe three or four tables and then turning away the next three or four tables. So I had a reservation. We ate, two of us ate upstairs in the restaurant, and that restaurant wasn't full. But again, I came back downstairs and had a drink, and they were turning away more people. And I got talking to the owner and or the manager that was there, and he said they were operating at 75% because they just didn't have the staff, particularly in the restaurant, in the kitchen, to be able to cope with the numbers. So they decided that they were capped there at 75%. They'd leave 25% of their tables free at all stages. Now, this place could probably handle it, but I was there probably for maybe a half an hour beforehand and an hour afterwards in the bar, and I definitely reckon they turned away 50 to 60 people upstairs that, you know, roughly 50 euro a head is probably 2,500, and maybe 40 people downstairs, you know, another maybe 20 euros a head, which is probably another 1,000. So you're talking about on a Saturday night turning away business of around 3,500. And they stopped serving food at 9 o'clock as well, because what he said was, we have a good day trade. We start at 12, we finish at 9. We can't really keep the staff anymore. So, you know, if they're doing that and they're taking that loss, what's the small business doing and they're turning away? And like Paul Trevor was saying earlier on, how are they going to cope when it comes to October, November, and not have that revenue that they would normally have?
That would be the sort of, I suppose it's a question of, if you're running a business like that, you're looking at the tourism season, and look, Paul has his view on how the season's going. Others have their view, saying that there's plenty of people around, but as you're talking about, there are plenty of people around, and some of them are being turned away by that big business because they're operating at the 75% for the staffing reasons. But if you are in a situation whereby you're paying huge increases in utilities, you're running a business, you've got coolers on, you've got lights on, you've got fans on, you've got ovens on, you have all that cost, then you've got the staff situation whereby you might not have a full rota of staff for the week to keep open at the moment, 7 days a week, Padraig. Then you probably have made the decision, and some have, to just go 5 days a week and not have the business. Or maybe, as that big operator you talked about, closing a little bit earlier in the evening and turning that business away because it just won't pay you and you don't have the staff to cover it.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But the other side of that, Jerry, is for the people. Now, I was amazed the amount of middle-aged people, I've called myself middle-aged, that came in without reservations. You know, and Irish people in particular, and there was a lot of foreigners as well, but certainly Irish people, and they didn't have reservations. They were looking for tables for four or six. And one couple came in and they were standing next to me and they'd been walking around Galway for an hour and a half looking for somewhere to go for something to eat. Now, he looked after them, to be fair to them, because the staff in this establishment were excellent. But, like, they were walking on for an hour and a half. So that's not a good message to send out for people. You know, we're looking for people to holiday at home.
It isn't. It isn't.
Home,
no.
And then
you can't get a meal after 9 o'clock at night in some places.
Yeah. You know, and all that. And the issue with the staff as well. Like he said, they just can't get them. And the staff poaching going on and staff are leaving and untrained. They can't find staff that are trained. Now, what he did say to me was, I'm sure this will upset some people, but what they took was, and nobody without experience was getting a job. They had no chance of getting a job. And then people that might have worked for a few weeks in a hotel where they kind of got the basics, and if they came in looking for a job, he would take them on because he didn't have time to train them in. So if the hotels trained them in, he could pay them a little bit more, and people were moving to the restaurants. Now, I'm not saying that's in general, but I'm saying that's the world that's out there, and it's a tough world in hospitality at the moment.
Yeah. How tough will it be when it comes to the winter if you're in a situation whereby, for whatever reason, whether it's the price of utilities or the staffing availability, you're not operating hell for leather 7 days a week, you know, 24/7 at the moment, Potter, to make the money to see you through the off-season?
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, I mean, a lot of these businesses would have budgeted, you know, they're going to make a lot of money in I know we're in the middle of the peak season now at the moment, but we say June, July, August, September. And that will try and keep them going over the quiet periods in October, November, December. But if they don't make that money during the summer, and like you said, they only open 5 days a week and they're not taking in the kind of money they are, how are they going to survive when the places go quiet? And then Are they not going to open again next year? Are you going to lose those out of the market? So you're going to have more and more people trying to get food in places? And it's all going to feed into our reputation as a tourist industry. If people can't get the service they want and can't get food until after 9 o'clock at night, are they going to go to other countries where, you know, you've no problem getting food in restaurants late and there's plenty of places around?
Yeah, I suppose the other thing is, did he have any answers as to how you changed the situation with regards to staff and staffing levels?
Well, I mean, no, they were saying, to be fair to them, what they said was, like, they could pack the place in, but people wouldn't get the service, they wouldn't stand over the food or the delays, so they took the now, they are a big operator, and owned by a big operator, so they can do it, but a small, you know, a family-owned bar, that probably can't do that, and are they risking, you know, packing the place in then and seeing, you know, and getting a bad name out of it? So it's a tough place at the moment.
One of the big issues, Patrick, is third-level education and the semesterization of third-level education. I mean, the pressure is on straight away. You have to go back. You go back earlier than it used to be in years gone by. So even in the middle of August, a lot of those smaller operations will be, they'll be losing staff because people will have to get ready and head back at the start of September, and you lose your staff, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of what now is a very busy month for tourism, thankfully, September. That's another issue.
Yeah, and the other side of that is, if they're not taking on people with no experience, how are those people, we'll say the 17 or 18 year olds, where are they going to go to get experience, you know, of the next generation of people that are in there? I think the government really is missing a trick. You know, what CERT used to do, now I know the colleges are doing some, but what CERT used to do and the training they had for people, and particularly even in Killarney, when you look at the amount of people that came out of the Turk Hotel, and you had them in the Kinmare Bay as well. All those people, many of those spent 30, 40 years in the hotel business, perfectly trained, excellent chefs, excellent waiters. But now I'm just not sure is that focus on training, which I think it really needs to come back to training people who are going to spend time. And look, you can look at the hard hours and how much pay they're getting, and all that has to be looked at as well. But if you don't train the staff, you know, you're not going to get them, and it's going to be, it's a couple of years' time where we might find out that we're not getting the business into the country, and we're asking why then, and we're losing our reputation.
Yeah, it's a fair point, and lots of people have been asking for, you know, the similar type model, reopen the certs and train in hotels in the off-season as the way it was done years ago. Oh, Patrick, listen, we're going to leave it there. You were up in Galway for the Galway Cup. How did that go?
Yeah, it went very well. St. Bernard's Park representing Kerry, they got to the final, the under-12s. They were just pipped in the final by the Finn Harps Academy from the Finn Harps League of Ireland club. So, brilliant tournament. They had fabulous weather up there. And, back in Kerry now. And just mentioned, we have our Rose Cup coming up in association with the Rose of Tralee there. So, 8 of those leagues will be coming to Tralee on the 20th of August. So,
brilliant.
Things are all on the sporting world, right?
They certainly do, Patrick. Thanks a million for that. Thanks for your observations on it, Patrick Harnett there on the line.